Hello, everybody. Welcome to the For Reals Up podcast with Amanda and Jessica. And we have a guest today.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, everybody. So we brought Sarah in. Sarah is in my circle of friends, just a more recent friend in my life. But Sarah is a lot of things. She's a grab bag. And she does a lot of things. And she is a lot of things. But the most important, most amazing part about her is she's Capricorn like me. She's the only Capricorn friend that I have.
You found the Capricorn friend?
Yes. But also, Amanda and I decided to start because we've been talking about the feminine so much in 2024, and we are exploring our own feminine and changing our own lifestyle to suit it, we wanted to feature women in their power, in their feminine power. And Sarah is our first woman in power.
Yay.
So welcome, Sarah.
Thanks for joining me.
I'm very excited to chat your ears off for the next few minutes here.
So Sarah has a really, really cool story. She has a really cool life story, and I thought that all of our listeners needed to hear it. Her age group is a little bit higher than ours, but it's in the same. It's in the same.
Amanda, 53.
Ugh. Okay. Sarah's 53. Amanda and Jessica are 47. It's about the same.
Isn't that still Gen X?
I think it,
It is Gen X.
Same group. I mean, I did get my AARP magazine in the mail yesterday.
I'm not getting that yet.
There's good business. There are good business. And it's like $12 a year, so I highly recommend it.
Okay.
You know, card and everything. You can put an app on your phone. Okay.
So I wanted Sarah to come on and tell her story because she has a great story about it's a great story about when you need to make changes in your life and you know you need to make changes and you don't care what society says. You don't care what anybody else says. You just do them. Because Sarah did that several different times in her life. But her first time that she made that decision, first time she did that was regarding her marriage. So tell us a little bit about that decision, Sarah.
That was tough. I'm going to make a couple generalizations and I may be wrong, right? But I think growing up, As a little girl, you're told by them, right, that you have to get married. You go to school, you get married, you have kids, you have a little white picket fence, and everything is beautiful, and you don't question it because that's just kind of what you do. I, on the other hand, never thought about it. I never thought about my wedding dress. I never thought about getting married and living in a house. I was supposed to be this artist living in Paris, poor as all hell, right? Eating ramen noodles for the rest of my life and having dirty fingernails with chalk and charcoal and whatever. Well, that didn't happen. I just went on this path because I was always very happy growing up and got to this point in my life. I left Wisconsin. That's where I'm from. Kind of fell in love with an older man. It's a big, long story and I could talk for hours. But he said something. I feel like I have to say this. I was 23 and he was 34. And I thought I fell in love. He said to me one day, I was trying to figure out what I was going to do. And he said, listen, I don't love you the way you think you love me. Oh my God, at 23, that was like death. But I never forgot that because it was the most honest, selfless thing I think that anybody could have done, right? Because we did have a relationship. So fast forward a little bit, I went to Europe for my last semester of school, came back, still had this man, Michael, in the back of my head, had a friend out in Colorado, moved there, started bartending, still going to art school, met a guy via a friend, the setup. And I thought, well, why not? This guy's got a job, right? I was bartending, but this guy's got a 9-to-5 job. He's got what you're supposed to have, right? He's cute. He likes football. I mean, what else do you want? I guess 3 months later. Okay. Let's back up just a tiny little bit. We talked about kind of things we liked, right? And you're supposed to listen to those people that you care about. And I said the one thing I didn't like was a ring with just like one thing there, right? Like one diamond, one whatever. 3 months later, he comes to my apartment, standing in my bedroom, pulls it out, and he goes, "Do you want to get married?" And it's the exact ring that I didn't want.
Oh my God,
I don't think I ever told you that, but I was like, what is happening here? But it's what you're supposed to do, right? Those next steps in life that society and they tell you you have to do. So I got married. A couple months later, we got married, pregnant on my honeymoon, and it never was right.
Oh my gosh.
It was never my dad, who has since passed, love your us. He said to me at the church while we're waiting, and I'm standing in the back, my mom is on one side, dad's on the other, looks at me, he goes, "There's the door, Sarah. I got your back. This isn't you." He knew, but I did it. Again, fast forward a few years, I've got little kids. I think they were six maybe. And I just, there was so much going on. And I was sitting in an office. I was working in an office, you know, 8 to 5. I didn't want to do that. I forgot what it was like to be an artist, to be creative. Thank you, Jessica, for bringing that back these last couple months here. One day, I'm just sitting here not knowing what to do with myself because nothing was right. I wasn't in my skin, but still, here I am in the suburbs where I'm supposed to be at this, you know, age with two little kids, bitching about the HOAs and all this shit. And I'm like, I don't care. Oh my gosh. Dave walked in. I was sitting on the floor. I was playing with the kids. And Dave walked in and my heart sank because I knew that I would never give him what he deserved. Nor was I ever going to get what I felt that I deserved. I don't typically like that word, but man, in a relationship with a family, you do deserve that. You deserve that happiness, the independence, and the respect in any relationship that you have, especially with somebody that you're supposed to love. The hardest thing I did, because I had those little kids, make me cry a little bit, but was to decide, this is not right. It's not right for me. If I'm not good, I'm never going to be good for those little babies. And Dave doesn't deserve to walk into somebody who will never be in love with him.
I can relate to it so much because it's exactly my situation with my first husband. Because in the down to like, he said, on our very second date, well, we went on a first date when we met, and he said, "What do you want to do on the second date? And I said, "Anything but go to a movie, because I want to get to know you more. I want to talk to you more." And guess what he asked me to do on the second date?
Movie.
Go to a movie. And it was exactly like, it was a first, it was like right away. He didn't go for like what I wanted or needed. And he did what he wanted. And I was the same as you. There was nothing like major that happened. I mean, there was a lot of things that were not going well. But there was no like big thing like cheating. But I knew that I couldn't be in this relationship. Right. I knew, and I was the same. I had just had a new baby, and she was I literally knew right after she was born knew right away. But then I waited until she was about 2 before I could leave because she was just so little. But I remember thinking, I wish he would just cheat on me. I wish like he would do something.
Yes.
Something wrong. So I have.
No, you don't. No, you don't. That took me 4 years to get over. Y'all don't wish for that.
Yeah, but you also like when you know it's not right, you feel guilty because you're ending a family. You chose that. You made that choice as an adult. Those kids didn't ask for that, and then it's a difficult choice. So I can relate. It's very like. And it takes you lots of process and go through to make that ultimate decision to leave because, it's not easy.
No, because you're the one that's starting it. And I think, you know, Jessica's heard a lot of the, you know, all these years that we've been divorced because we got divorced in 2005 or 6. But, you spend all that time beforehand. Like, you're the one that's wrecking it. You're the one that's making the choice for everybody else. And how do you do that?
Yeah.
I And you're, but you also, you're still grieving the loss of it too, because that's how, what you had envisioned your life to be like, you know, you thought you were going to be this family and you thought that all these things were going to happen. And then the reality was that wasn't right for you. And ultimately, because it's not right for you, it's not right for the other person either, or the whole family.
It's not. I do wonder, like, and my kids are great. They're awesome. But they never got to, and I still, that still kind of aches at me a little bit. They never got that, you know, that, I don't know the right word, cohesive.
Or the feeling. The feeling of cohesiveness, yeah.
Right. Yeah. So we always played it off like, oh, you get two Christmases and you get two of everything and it's great. And Dave and I never hated each other. Just what you're saying. It wasn't this, you did something shitty and now, you know, it's terrible. It just, it wasn't right. That's the only word I can think of, you know, it wasn't right. So, yeah.
Yeah. And society doesn't leave space for that. It really doesn't. The society that we live in right now doesn't allow for you to change your mind. It doesn't allow for you to just be like, you know what, this isn't working. And I saw a meme the other day. It said marriage licenses should come with a 5-year expiration date, just like driver's license.
Yep.
Because then at your 5-year mark, you can just decide, you know what, this isn't working for me anymore. I'm out. Or let's keep going.
Right. And I mean, if you think about relationships, you like last your whole lifetime, like friendships or people in your life, or even family members that come and go. So it's weird that we expect that we're supposed to find this right person and just be okay being with them for forever. And it does work for some people, but for a lot of people, you just grow different directions and you need different things.
You do. And you change a little bit. And I think, man, I don't even know how to say that. You conform, I guess, and you forget about that individuality that you had. You know, it can be this crazy big independence, or it can be something like, I like to read every night and I need an hour or a half an hour. And have to have that respect for that other person. I think we kind of forget about that a little bit.
Yeah, we get lost. As women, we get lost. Yeah. We get lost in our kids. We get lost in our jobs. We get lost in our marriages.
Yep. Everything. And you feel like... Here's, I don't know if this is a good example or not, but we were talking about it at work the other day and I was laughing. I was like, women, you take on everything, right? You do. You just take on everything. As I'm sitting here pregnant, like crazy with my son, holding my little, you know, 14-month-old daughter in my arm and vacuuming with the other one. And here's my husband sitting on the couch, drinking a beer. I the couch. He literally lifts up his legs, turns over, goes sideways so I can get between the couch and the coffee table. I'm thinking, what the heck?
Yeah.
But we give up everything. You forget that.
Yeah. I think a lot of women can relate to this message for sure. And I remember just feeling like completely lost. Like I didn't even know who I was anymore. Like I was
right.
Just like,
you're not in your right skin.
Yeah. Yeah. I just, I think that's part of the problem is that we are taught that we are supposed to just give so much and we're supposed to just be okay with things and then commit to this relationship. And then, and it's not about us anymore. Once we have kids, whereas men are not taught that at all.
No, not even at all.
Still get to have their, Travis tells me all the time, his ex said when, and I relate to this so much. His ex told him when she had a kid, she goes, your life just keeps to keep continuing on the way it's always been. You still have your job. But my life has totally changed. Everything's totally different. I'm not even the same. And I think all women really relate to that. When I heard, and he's told me this so many times that she said that and how drastic she felt like, and he was like, and I tried to support her through this. Like, let me like help you. But it doesn't, I don't know. It just happens. Like I don't know if there's anything they can do because they don't get it. They're not capable of understanding what that feels like as a woman to like completely like lose your identity, completely like be immersed in motherhood and being a wife and managing all these things. Like you aren't that same person anymore. You're totally a whole new person and nothing goes back to how it was.
No. And how do you find, I remember one time too, I was like, Dave, I need 10 minutes. And I feel like I may have told you this, Jessica. I got a canvas and I got paint and wine and I put on a tank top. I took off my bra. I had little boy shorts on. I had that blank canvas. I locked myself in the bedroom, poured a glass of wine, had a paintbrush. I had no paint. And I just stood there and I cried like that ugly, deep, horrible cry because that's gonna make me cry right now again. Like for those couple minutes, that was me, right? And after all those years, I caught a tiny little glimpse of it, but 3 minutes later, mommy, all right, let's put my hoodie back on and go out there. So yeah, it's tough. So we got divorced and it was amicable. We sat in the, we did everything by ourselves. Mm-hmm. We sat on the same side, watched about seven other couples get divorced and be really mad at each other. They came to us, then we went and had a beer.
Yeah. But then you guys went on vacations together and you did things with the kids that made it more less crazy bad.
Less crazy bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Because it can be, anyway, but yes. So that was like the big first thing that I did for myself. And it was hard, like hard.
It was hard, but what were the good parts?
Right? It was really good to like empowering at the same time. It was hard, but then, you know, like you did it.
It was so hard, but, and this sounds so bad, sorry, Dave. The second we were divorced and we had that beer and I went home to that house with just my kids, I felt like a completely different person. Not mean like, yeah, it's over, but just like I lost 1,000 pounds. Mm-hmm. And it was able to put on my spiritual gangster shirt again and be like, yeah, I've got this. It's hard though.
So fast forward many, many years, your kids are leaving, they're grown, whatever. And you have another wild decision to make. That's another hard decision.
So I always told my kids, I'm like, dude, take chances, live your life. If you want to do something, do it. Right? That cliche saying, you may not have tomorrow. Yeah, may not, right?
Right.
So all my life until I got married, that's kind of how I lived. I did whatever I wanted. I didn't, you know, I was happy. I smiled. I did whatever I wanted. And I forget what year it was, but that Saturday Night Live skit about living in a van by the river.
Yeah.
Yes. Chris Pine, and I'm like, wait a minute, why wouldn't anybody want to live in a van? But like, that sounds so cool. So I always talked about that. I'm like, I'm going to live in a van, you know, screw all of this. I'm going to live in a van. I'm getting out of here. Then my kids graduate and I move to an apartment in downtown Denver. Then they're gone for a couple of years. My daughter decides to take my advice and packs up all her crap and moves to Texas. Doesn't know anybody. She just said, I'm out. She went. My kids FaceTime me. Mom, we're a little bit disappointed in you. What are you talking about? Well, you're still living in an apartment. You got to get a van. You're not taking your own advice. And I was like, huh. Went and bought a van. I had 3 months. I think it was 3 months left on my lease. Yeah, I think it was 3 months. So built it out. I gave literally every single thing I owned to Goodwill or got rid of it. Mm-hmm. Everything I owned lived in about 35 square feet in that 136-inch wheelbase ProMaster van with a bed. I had bikes, climbing gear, all my art crap, a little bit of clothes. When I drove away, it was amazing. I drove away from that apartment with my whole life in a car. I should preface or go back again. So when I left Wisconsin, we decided, and it was women, it was me and two of my roommates decided to leave. And we actually went to Arizona before we came to Colorado. But we packed up everything. I had a little, I think it was a 1990 Nissan Sentra, two-door. My whole life was in that car. So me and my two roommates did that, and we just drove to Arizona, no place to live, no job, nothing, and we figured it out. I remember driving through Flagstaff, listening to Dave Matthews with the window open, and it was a little bit cold. The air was blowing. And I was like, this is so amazing, right? Because you're yourself. You're doing those things that you want, not what everybody tells you is right. So when I drove away from downtown Denver in that van, I was like, holy shit, I did this. And it was the biggest grin. I probably have a grin right now. It was the coolest thing I did. Pros and cons. I could talk for 7 hours on this stuff. The first thing everybody asked was, well, where do you shower and where do you go to the bathroom? Excuse me to all you listeners out there, shit in a bucket. Because what are you going to do? So that was the easiest thing. The shower, my work had a shower. I showered at the gym. I showered at Planet Fitness probably 6 days of the week. But yeah. I don't know how. It was empowering because it was what I wanted to do, right?
Yeah.
I made that decision. And at my age to do that, oh gosh. I don't want to say there wasn't a lot of support, but I'm sure there was a lot of great jobs that, oh, that's so great. And then turn around and be like, what the hell is wrong with them?
Right. It's society tells us that's not what we're supposed to be doing at that age. That's not what we should be wanting and the life we should be living. No.
No, it's not what you should be doing. You know, you should be, I don't know, shopping for.
So when you made the choice to do the van thing, were you still working a job or did you quit your job and kind of go off or what did you do?
So, and that's the part that, fast forward to rebuilding it again. That's the part in my brain. That's what was going to happen. My job was remote. I was going to be able to go wherever, visit my daughter in Texas, go to Wisconsin and visit my family, go wherever the hell I wanted, right? That changed as I got into the van and we had to be in the office 3 days a week. Yeah. So I could be gone 2 days a week. My goal was to go and disappear. Now I did. I mean, I parked everywhere. I have a little thing that I wrote down, like the numerous random places that I parked at night, places in Golden, places up off 285, like just in the mountains, kind of all over. And then I did park in front of the fire station in Wash Park because I felt safe. places I parked, but my goal was to go do that. And I was driving to, I drove it to Texas twice actually. But the one time I was driving down there, I was seeing all these little coffee shops. Random podunk, you know, this little city, population 802, coffee shop, church, a bar, whatever. I'm like, how great would it be to write a book and just travel and get on a road and just drive and see a coffee shop, take some pictures, have a coffee, talk to the owner, get the story on to the next one. I mean, this is what I still think about. And still would love to be able to disappear from Monday through Friday, from the rush hour, from all the little ants marching on the road, you know, at 7 a.m, angry because they're going to their job.
So how did you stay warm when it was cold and the weather got cold? And what, like, how did you deal with that?
I wore a hat and a beanie. And because of my age, I slept really well in the cold because I had a little heater, like a camping heater, and it's a small space. It really was amazing. Too bad I should have brought some pictures. I could have been like, here, guys. It was the coolest thing I've done. And sitting at a stop sign with my foot up on the dash, my hand here, just driving, going, this is it. This is me. There is something really, really freeing about not having stuff.
Yeah, all the baggage, all the stuff. Yeah.
So how long did you do this for?
A year?
And what year was this?
Last year.
Oh, last year. Okay. So then over time you decided that you needed to get back into an apartment or a house or a place?
I don't know if I want to use the word needed to. I felt like when I got into the van the first time, but you don't know what you don't know either, right? Which was the beauty of actually doing this and learning throughout the the course of that year, the good times, the bad times, lots of tears, you know, when it was freezing cold, like you said, it was negative 11. I'm like, ah, this is cool. Well, I'm going to stay, right? Because this is what I wanted. This is what I said I was going to do. And I want it. Sorry, I'm jumping around the good parts. We're parking in front of the lake with the windows open. And I made it really homey in there. I had plants. Stuff was hanging. It was gorgeous. Window open and I had nothing. And you could just sit there and be like, this is it. This is the simplicity, the calmness of doing the thing that makes you you, the thing that makes you feel good, right?
Yeah.
But I got to the point, I was like, you know what? I have to revamp. So I gutted the van and now she's got a couple more windows. She's got a new floor. The walls are in. So I don't really know exactly when this will happen again, but somebody said, are you willing to sell this? A woman I work with. And I'm like, yeah, probably not right now. No.
No, no. Okay. So you're in an apartment now and
in an apartment,
but you're refurbishing it for round two.
Yeah. I would love to still be able to do this. And then sometimes again, going back to this whole, you know, whatever the empowerment thing, again, sometimes I look at my age. I'll be 54 this year. I mean, sorry, Mom, but she keeps telling me, you have to settle down. Don't you just settle down? Why don't you buy a house and blah, 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 and do all these things? And I'm like, have you not met me, Mom? You spent all those years doing what you're supposed to do, right? Mm-hmm. So to be able to, you know, these three big life choices, intermixed in the middle of that, though, you guys, there's all these things. It's been a year. It's been a year for me. I started to say no. And that's tough, right? Like what we talked about. You say yes, yes, I'll do this. Yes, I'll go here. I've got to do this. Run the kids here. I'll do this. I'll come to dinner down south. I'll do this. I'll do all of these things. Man, when you start to say, no, it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing because all of a sudden, instead of this slouch that we have, sure. No.
Yeah.
I'm not being a jerk, but I'm saying no to this because it doesn't suit me. It doesn't fit me. It doesn't put me in my own skin, right?
Yep.
I don't want to do that.
Yep.
And if I do this, I'm not going to be good in the long run. And I think that's kind of a little bit maybe what we're getting at too, right? Like you sacrifice all these. Is that a good word? I don't know if that's the right word, sacrifice.
It is, though. It's.
I think it is.
Yeah, you sacrifice those things that make your hair stand up on your arms, that feels right in your gut. There is something said about all of that. So you say no. You say no to your ex-husband, finally. Thanksgiving? No, I'm not coming to your house. You guys come to my house. Yeah, but you live all the way. Castle Rock. Highland Ranch. Like, move all the way out there. Well, I'm going to be cooking if you guys want to come. I love you all. If you don't, have a great Thanksgiving. That's hard too, but all those little things, right? We can talk about these big, gigantic decisions that we make, but I feel like some of the smaller ones too, even friendships, right? Relationships, friendships. Maybe saying no is the wrong thing, but maybe saying those things to yourself that are true to yourself, whatever.
Yes.
It doesn't necessarily have to be a no. It could be a yes, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's boundaries, it's expectations, this is how I'm going to be, and I'm not going to settle for anything different anymore. Yeah. It all falls in that same bucket, I think.
Yeah. And it goes back to like not just being right, fair to you, but fair to those other people too, or fair to putting the energy into something you're not excited about, because then, you know, it's not good for all involved, no matter what decision it is or how it is, or, you know, you're not going to show up excited about doing it. And then everybody around you is going to feel that.
Your energy is huge, right? I had somebody say to me once, like when I was bartending, why do you smile all the time? And I'm thinking, what are you talking about? Why would you not smile? Right? Because at that time, why would you not smile? I'm doing everything I want.
Yep.
I know.
Not selfishly.
I just told Jessica this. I was like, we should write down right now. Because the thing is that we have these big moments in our life to where we do shift and it forces us to look at ourselves and look at things and get back in alignment. But then we get caught up again and we get off track again. And so I think we need like these check-in points, like once a month or once a week or whatever. And I said, we need to write down how we're using our energy every day. Like, how am I spending my energy? And then how do I want to be spending my energy? Like, this is what I'm currently doing with my energy. And this is what I'd like to be doing with my energy. And then is this, how can I get back to this? Because I do think that those divorces or those job changes or those big events allow us like those shifts to be like, wait a second, I'm changing everything up. I'm getting back to myself again. And you kind of get, you get focused on yourself and what, how you want to live your life. But then it's like everything shifts again. And things change, like we change, our wants and needs change, and it's so important for like this continuous look within to be like, am I happy? Is this going the way I want? Is it what I thought it was going to be? Like, let's say you got in the van and nothing was how you thought it was going to be. That's okay. Then you tried it, like you did the thing, you know, and it's okay to. Like, maybe I like this part of it, but I didn't. So next time if I do it, I'm going to do it this way. It's all just this constant, like adjusting and figuring out like what works and what doesn't work for you and how you want to spend your time or who you want to spend your time with. And maybe it was working with that person for a little bit, but then something changed with that person's dynamic or your dynamic and it's no longer meshing or whatever. And it's time to say goodbye and let it go and move on. And that's just the ebbs and flows of life. And it's okay. You know,
it is okay. It's hard. It's hard, but it shouldn't be hard. And that's what I always say. I'm like, it shouldn't be hard.
Right? It's only hard because you're married to the societal standards that exist, right? It's only hard because you're butting up against something that you were told was right or the right thing to do or the right way to be. But the minute you let that go, the shackles are off and it's not hard. It doesn't become hard.
The more you do it too, the more you allow yourself to do it and to tap into like, do I really want this for myself? And then it just gets easier and easier the more you do it. Although, like I said, we get off track to where like we get lost. I mean, we just get into that autopilot of life and then we forget like, oh yeah, this is not me. I got caught up in life again and it's not cool. Like I want to get back to myself.
And that's the apartment. Let me, it was nice to get into this apartment, like the first couple, and I don't even want to say weeks. The first couple days I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I can get up, stand up, walk naked to the bathroom, take a shower, walk back. I have all this space. But as of late, I found myself stuck in one small spot in this house.
Oh, yeah.
Because I look around, it's like 1,200 square feet. And that's not very big by, you know, societal standards. Oh, it's 1,200 square feet. Dude, how much space you really need?
I know. You don't need the space.
It's just me. There's nobody else. So, it is like getting sucked back into it, right? Because I've got a couch and a table and I have stuff on the walls, but I did that for 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So it is easy to fall back into that, right? Mm-hmm. Or then you get in a relationship and you start doing things that really aren't you. And you go to bed at 8:30 because that's what the other person does. Oh, good night. No, that's not me. Like what?
Yeah.
It's easy to fall into or back into those things that are the right thing to do at the age that you're at, you know, like even the silly bike rides and triathlon and stuff I do, I get a lot of, as I was walking out today, I hurt my ankle a couple weeks ago. I was walking out of work today and the guy behind me was like, you know, if you quit doing all that stuff and walking around like crazy and just sat on the couch and started watching TV, you wouldn't hurt your ankle. I'm like, dude, you're 10 years younger than me, man.
What?
Right? So I don't, yeah. Do those things that
just goes to show you the judgment no matter what choice you make.
Yep.
You're what?
Yep.
I said that just goes
no matter what choice you make.
there's judgment no matter what you do. So you might as well just do you, because somebody's going to have a judgment about if you exercise or if you don't exercise.
Yep.
Right. Or whatever. I love those pictures of the old, there's one of like three old ladies or four old ladies nursing home in, you know, 2085 or something. It's all these old ladies with bracelets and tattoos and they're drinking booze and they are old. I'm like, that's me. So yeah, it's been a crazy year of saying no, of deciding. I mean, the biggest thing was, again, that divorce, and that was tough. That was tough. I put a lot of judgment on myself, too. And I think that, right, you make those decisions, and then kind of how we mentioned or talked about, we look back at ourselves. Did we do the right thing? Was that the right thing? I ruined it for everybody. But did you? I think about that divorce. If Dave and I had stayed together, there's nothing good that would have happened.
Right.
There's nothing good.
And then who would you have been today? Something that wouldn't have been either authentic or good.
I wouldn't have been able to look in the mirror. And I think that's a thing too. I say that all the time. When you're making choices, whether they're good, bad, otherwise, if you're doing something and you have that weird little twitch, I don't know if this is right. Like, look at yourself in the mirror and see what looks back at you. And if you can't stare at yourself right in the eyes and say, this is right, it's probably not.
Yeah.
And then it's gaining the strength, the people around you that support you to make those uncomfortable decisions, to make those decisions that from the outside, I'm sure look very, very selfish and ridiculous, you know? So,
Yeah, I know.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for telling your story. It's brave. Your life is brave. You are brave. And telling the story is brave because we're going to have.
What advice do you have for women that are like ready to make a big choice like that? Like whether it's a divorce or quitting a job or leaving your relationship or living in a van. What advice do you have?
Just like Nike said, just do it. But seriously, it's so easy to say that. But if you have a gut, again, gosh, it's so cheesy and cliche, but our lives are so short, right? Mm-hmm. And as we get older, you see people start to get sick and pass away. And it's that thing about being on your deathbed, right? I don't want to have any regrets. I would rather do something and be like, shit, that didn't work. You know what I mean? Versus, man, I have this list of I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have done that, right? And there's another thing. If you're looking at making a change, however little it is, it may be huge to you, but whatever, it doesn't matter. If it's as big as getting a different haircut, right? Or as small as getting a different haircut, that may be huge to you. I mean, look at it and don't think, because I think this is what we do too. But what if it doesn't look good?
Yeah.
What if it doesn't work? The easiest thing to change is the way you say that. What if, right? What if? Oh my gosh. What if?
But what if it does?
What if it does? What if it's the best thing? What if that divorce allows your children to become the humans that they are, right? What if that living in a van, what if it brings you to parking somewhere, to meeting the next human that's going to be in your life, or your next adventure, or your next job? Just change. That's the biggest advice. Change your way of thinking, right? Yeah. That's it, because that's the easiest part. Taking the step is pretty hard. But if you just, instead of rolling your eyes and go, yeah, but what if it doesn't work? But what if I quit my job and I don't get another one? What if you do?
Yep.
What if you quit, and what if you get that job, that career, that journey that you've been dreaming of, but you can't because you were too afraid, because what if it didn't work?
Yeah. And we're such resilient people that, you know, we can figure it out. Like, I always think that we're just like, we're afraid, but then like, you know what, if it doesn't work out, we'll figure it out. or we'll have to lean on the people in our life to help us, or we'll have to do something, but we'll figure it out, like one way or another. And it may be hard or whatever, but it's better than not knowing, you know?
And the not knowing, right? The unknown is the worst. And swallow your pride a little bit too, you know? It's okay to hurt. Jessica taught me that. Own it. Look a hurt in the face. Own it and feel it and let it heal. And if you're deciding to make a decision, do it. And if somebody says, oh, you shouldn't do that, maybe you shouldn't do that, but I should. And it's okay if it doesn't work to say, that didn't work. So changing your attitude, I think, is the biggest. Changing the way you look at what if, and then also being able to say, oh, well, it didn't work. Let's try something else. Because yeah. That's all we have, right?
It is.
Yep.
I got a thing off of Instagram. It said, you create your own life. And I clicked it. It came up right when I was about to sign on with you guys to do this. And I was like, that's perfect. It's perfect for the message that we're sending here, but it's a reminder that we do create our own life. And if we are living a miserable life, if we're living a dissatisfied life, why are we doing that? And what can we do to change it and make it better?
Right. And we have that power, right? That goes with, I feel like I just keep talking about me, but it goes with the divorce. It was about me to start. Dave walked in, like I said, my heart sank. I was never going to love him. He didn't deserve it, right? But you get to make those choices. If I didn't make that choice, like I said, it would not be good right now. You know? If I didn't make the choice to live in the van and experience the positives and the negatives, I would have thought it was still the most amazing thing in the world. And it's going to be again, but it was, you know, you don't know. So you have to try those things, and you're the only one that can do it.
Yeah. Just do the thing. I like it.
Well, and sometimes I think you, as women, because we get so lost, we don't even know what that thing is. And I think that's also important to if you're listening and you're like, well, that sounds great. You know what you want. I have no clue. I don't even know who I am or what I want or what. Just know that's normal too, because I think we've all been in that place where it's like, you just don't even know, but having that feeling that something's missing in your life and not knowing what you want next or what direction you want to go, that's important to listen to, because that means that you need to spend time with yourself and tap into yourself and do some probably healing. And when you do spend that time reconnecting to yourself, healing, working through all that, that's when that information will come to you. You'll know what's next, or the universe will bring you something that is going to guide you to where you need to go. But sometimes it's just not the right time. You don't know what's next. Right. You're in like this standstill spot of really not knowing what direction to go or what choice to make or where life's going to go next, but you just know something's not right.
Yeah. You always got to listen to your gut. That's a crazy thing though, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, Sarah, for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time and sharing with our audience, because your story is unique. I've never met another woman who has lived in a van for a year and who plans on potentially living in a van for longer. So
especially living in a van in Colorado, where it's freaking cold, that's super brave. Like, you know, it would be different if it was like Arizona or something. Yeah. But
then it was hot. It's so hot there.
Yeah.
Van real quick in those couple really hot nights too. You know, you got one window, but again, I'm a woman living in a van. So, and I've got windows in the back. I was butt naked in that van for some of those nights because it's so hot with a little tiny $5 battery powered fan. Oh my gosh. Sweating,
I can imagine. Gosh, that's probably miserable.
It was fun.
Oh yeah. Yeah. The overall experience, but yeah, everything is all about balance, right?
It is.
You have to have the hard times to appreciate the good times, you know?
100%. 100%. And you learn from everything. And I think that's the thing too. Don't be afraid to be wrong. Right. Yeah. And you don't know if it's going to be wrong until you do it. And you're like, yeah, it's okay. It's okay to be wrong. because it's not really wrong if you learned from it.
Right.
Very true. Very true.
All right. Well, thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Jessica. We'll see you guys on the next
episode. Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.